From coast to coast and around the world, you are now walking with spirit. Hello, everybody. I'm Dr. Monique Chapman, your host, and thank you for joining us for an hour of personal and metaphysical growth. Each week, Walking with Spirit explores different topics from the mundane to the mystical with stimulating guests from all over the world who share their knowledge to uplift consciousness during Earth's ascension. Tonight, we have a great show lined up. We have Alejandra with us, and Alejandra is a channel and author of Healing with the Rainbow Rays and her soon-to-be-released book entitled Cosmic Chakras. If you'd like to speak with us and ask a psychic or color question, the phone lines are open. The numbers are toll-free 888-268-4313 or 530-876-3222. Again, 888-268-4313 or 530-876-3222. I will tell each caller the color that they're presently resonating at, and Alejandra can help us out here by telling us what the color means and if you want to change your color, what color to put around you. And, of course, we'll answer any question that you present to us. We also encourage you to email your questions to spiritanswers@walkingwithspirit.net, and your questions will be answered in real time on the air. Now, a bit about me for our new listeners. I'm an intuitive energy therapist with 25 years' experience. I have helped thousands of people from stay-at-home parents to corporate executives make their invisible dreams visible. Utilizing my gifts, I'm simultaneously in touch with the past, present, and future, eliminating the fog and paving the way for clarity. I work with Eastern, Western, African, and Caribbean methodologies in addition to being a board-certified hypnotherapist, Reiki master teacher, and ordained minister. Now, Alejandra is an internationally known author, teacher, healer, and channel for Source, and she's based in San Jose, California. Intuitive and empathic her whole life, she originally trained to be a registered nurse. However, for the last 19 years, she has focused her attention on the development and practice of color therapy. She's also trained in other modalities such as healing and body work, and she frequently uses all of this to integrate into her color and channeling work that she does. Alejandra has been a guest on many radio and TV shows. And she has developed this special modality entitled the Transfigurational Matrix Healing, which she's going to share with us tonight. So welcome to Walking with Spirit, Alejandra.
Well, thank you, Monique. It's great to be back.
Oh, thanks. I'm so used to calling you by a different name. I call you a nickname for short because you're my friend, so I'm trying to stay with the formal Alejandra here. So forgive me if I slip.
That's okay. Allie or Alejandra, I'll answer to either.
Okay. That'll make it easier for me. You know, you've been on before and you've talked, you know, about the basics of color and what the colors mean and all. Tonight I'd like to go a little bit deeper. What I'd like to do tonight, if it's okay with you, is to actually give the folks some real-world information that they can utilize right here, right now, to assist their lives to be better.
Well, that sounds great.
Okay. Now, I know that you work with Saint Germain, as do I. So would you mind enlightening everyone how you work with Saint Germain and how Saint Germain can benefit each and every one of us?
Yes. Oh, Saint Germain and I go back a ways. It would be quite too long a story to go into all of it, but I will say that he has been there for me through thick and thin, and he has been a major, if not the most important teacher for my spiritual life, and at least this latter part of my life. I started off more in the yoga field, and so I was following Yogananda and those line of teachers for many years. But after a certain point, Saint Germain came into the picture, and he has been there since then, and has he's very he pushes the envelope a lot, which I love, you know. How do you even talk about some of the nature of this guy? I mean, he's just amazing.
Yeah, well, Michael, how do you use him? You know, what I do with Saint Germain is in my morning meditation, I call him in as well as some of the archangels. And what I ask Saint Germain to do is sit with his violet flame and to burn away the negativity, the blocks, you know, anything that I'm facing in life that I would like to ease, have greater ease with. So I just say his mantra, which is, well, one of his many mantras. And the one that I say is, I am a being of violet fire. I am the purity God desires. Mm-hmm. And I just say that over and over again in a sing-song method. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever I ask him to help me with, the opening appears.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, I mean, you can always be sure that that's going to be there, and it's in a big way, too. I mean, it's none of this, I think that, did that happen? You know when you connect with him that it's happening because it's really obvious. That's one great thing about him. It's very, very definite, the connection that you feel and the way that it works and the power of it. There's so many different ways to work with him, and yes, the thing that's been the most common over the years is his violet flame energy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once he gave that out in, I think, was late 20s or 30s, early 30s of the last century, it's been extremely popular method for purging and clearing away the debris, the things that you just don't need anymore, and becoming more into your own authenticity and your own power and your own I Am presence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful, single wonderful method. I mean, it's amazing how just connecting with that can take you so far. I think that's the beauty of it. You know, you don't need an entire modality of different things to do. One thing could literally take you the entire distance.
Yeah, and it's interesting, not only that one thing that can take you the entire distance, but it acts rather quickly.
Yeah.
So it's not like you have to do
wait and
a month and hope to see some result. I mean, if you,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, me too. It's like immediate help, please.
Yeah.
Thank
so
you.
You know, the way, you know, this way America is, isn't it? Instant gratification. No, but I wouldn't even say that it would be that. But it, what I love is that it's effective and that it works.
Yeah.
And it works in a very timely manner and very.
Yeah.
Very quickly, and so you can take it at any degree of your path, your evolution, and find that it works well wherever you're at.
Yeah, so if you're having, say, money issues, for example, and you, I would advise everyone to meditate because it truly does work, but if you don't meditate and you just want to call on Saint Germain and you want to say his mantra, one of the many, and ask him to take away the cloud around the money so that you can see, all of a sudden the money appears.
Right.
As long as you don't have expectations on where it has to come from, you know, just be open and willing to go with the flow. I found that that has appeared. If you're having, if you're in a relationship and you're having difficulty with the relationship, coming in and asking him to clear away the fog, I found to be also very beneficial. Just about for any aspect. One thing I'm working on right now, and hopefully this isn't cheating, but I'm actually asking Saint Germain to work with our government and the world leaders.
Well, no, it isn't. Actually, you know, he has, if you go into the history of Saint Germain, I've collected a lot of rare books about his lifetime here, lifetimes here, especially when he was Wonder Man of Europe, and you're talking a 200 to 400-year period there. I know it's hard for people to believe that someone could be around that long, but he also had many different names that he went by and different places that he lived, and he was very, very active at that time in the governments of Europe and trying to get democracy in there, and he had high hopes for the United States, and what is considered the Uncle Sam figure that we call Uncle Sam now. That and there was a wonderful experience where the founders of this country were trying. There were, you know, it was a very tough time because you if by putting your name down on the Declaration of Independence, you would be committing a treasonous act against the crown and all that, and so. Very scary for these people to come out and put their whole life on the line by signing this. And so they were wavering, as can be expected for something this serious. And all of a sudden, they were on the second or third floor of a large building. And coming in from the balcony, which was no way you could get up there, walking in was this man who said, sign that document, turns around and leaves, and they don't know how he got in or out of the area, but they signed it after that, and he was considered Uncle Sam. That's the kind of little story about Saint Germain there.
Oh, okay.
And he was very, you know, very interested in establishing a much better form of government on the planet, starting with, you know, the failed attempts in France, at that time anyway, with the revolution and all that, and then coming over here and having high hopes for our country. So he's been actively involved with on and off in his time upon here, time on and off again, as he has been very, very concerned about the state of the world. And he loves the world so much that he has been asked by other governments to come work on other levels with very, very high-level positions offered to him, and he has turned them down because of his love for the planet Earth. He's very bodhisattva that way, you know, staying until everyone has, I assume he'll be here until everyone is freed, you know, but that's the kind of energy he's put around it, is just to stay here. He feels that he's of help here. I mean, he's obviously on the other levels simultaneously or whenever he chooses, but he spends a lot of his time with concerns about the Earth.
Yeah, well, I love the fact that he helps us, and, you know, I'm basically asking him and to come in and work with the leaders and for peace, and to find a peaceful way for coexistence right now and to get out of the mess that we found ourselves in.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's anybody out there who shares the same sentiments, please, you know, ask St. Germain for his help and put your intent out there. Now, we're speaking with Alejandra, and Alejandra is a channel, and she is the author of Healing with the Rainbow Rays. The phone lines are open. You can call at 888-268-4313 or 530-876-3222. Let's focus on you for a little bit. Now, your channel, among other things, is there anyone specifically that you channel?
Yes, well, I do channel St. Germain, but I pretty much, most of the work now is coming straight from Source, as I've merged my consciousness along the years, with that energy. There's a story around, I don't know if you want to hear it, but a story around St. Germain and the whole thing of moving on to Source that I tell here and there. For many years, he was my major teacher. And I would also bring through the energies of Archangel Michael and Kuan Yin quite a bit. And then he basically kicked me out of the nest and said, "You got to go straight to Source. You're stopping with me." And I was just traumatized. And he took off for a couple of years, well, 3 or 4 years. I didn't. He stayed in the background. He said, "You know, you always thought I was God, but I kept an eye on you." But he tried to stay scarce because I would just try to go to him and not expand like I needed to. So I would have to say now, as you know, it's hard to tell almost, you know, after a certain point, you know, is this coming from St. Germain or Source now? Because I trust in that merging of the energy. It's hard to explain that, but he does still bring me a lot of guidance, obviously, and help. But I would say the major energy that I channel now would be Source proper, I guess.
Okay.
Maybe now, it's all part of Source.
When you're working with someone, are you channeling for them, or is it in addition to the healing work that you're doing, or
yeah,
is
often,
it something totally,
you know,
different?
It just comes out all the time, and so I finally decided to do formal readings, you know, because I was doing it in my sessions all the time, but I did resist doing the formal reading. So I wanted to make sure that, so often I've seen some abuses in the field, you know, of people tell, you know, psychics telling other people, you know, what they wanted to hear kind of thing. And so I stayed out of it for a long time. But, you know, after having met you and Joseph and some of the others that we know and seeing the integrity there, and I started to begin to think, you know, I could do this because there are people that are doing it and doing it well. And so I stopped slowly over a period of time, I stopped resisting doing it. And now I've allowed that aspect in, you know, to sit and do formal readings. But I would always do it with teaching and you know, class and working with clients all the time. I mean, it was a nonstop thing. And then in the writing, you know, obviously it would come through there.
Yeah, a lot of channeling in her writing. If you haven't, well, your book, Healing with the Rainbow Rays, has been out for how many years now?
Over 10.
And it's still selling well on Amazon.
Well, I'm out of the first printing, other than you might be able to find a few around. There are actually a few around if you look, but I'm basically out of that would be the used copies.
Okay.
But and a few left that the distributors have, but I basically am out of the first printing. So if you want to get it now, before there are a few left.
Before it's all gone, huh?
Yeah, and there'll be a reprinting, but I'm more concerned about cosmic chakras at the moment, and that's going to be a few months for that probably. But Well, hopefully we'll have that out soon. And that's
okay, well, why don't you tell us about cosmic chakras? What is a cosmic chakra?
Wow. Yeah. For many years, I called it, the book was going to be called Your Magical Chakras. And
uh-huh.
I like the title because I love magic, you know,
uh-huh.
Kind of the Saint Germain thing there. But it just never felt quite like that was the name. But I didn't come up with anything else. And finally, one day, boom, it came in. It was like cosmic chakras. I go, oh, my God, that's it. I was driving, I think, when it happened.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it was just like, it felt like the right thing. And I remember calling you and running it by you,
uh-huh.
and you liked it. And a few other people, it was like, yeah, that's it. That's perfect. Cosmic chakras. Gosh, chakras are... you know, even though they're subtle energy wheels within our four-vehicle body, you know,
uh-huh.
of physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and it's a subtle energy that you would pick up with your subtle senses, there actually is, as though that wasn't cosmic enough, there actually is much more of a depth to that than we consider.
Uh-huh.
I think a lot of times we're looking at chakras, we're kind of thinking of them on the earth plane more. And basically what I found was that, I mean, obviously they're portals to other realities, but they were truly cosmic in nature because everything, in a sense, sort of begins and ends with the chakra system. I mean, our health, our spirituality, our well-being emotionally and mentally. When your chakra system is out of whack, it really affects one or more of your bodies.
Uh-huh.
And they really are our connection to source, our connection to the multidimensions. And so because of their really galactic nature or cosmic nature, I felt like that was the perfect term for them, that they really are cosmic in nature. And, you know, I want to make sure that when I teach and when I give the information out, that people are seeing to their chakra system with a lot of attention and giving it a lot of importance, because I do feel that everything, and it really is a buck stops here thing. When those are not in order, nothing's in order,
uh-huh.
you know? And we've spent so much time cleaning our outsides of our body and doing things like that. But when was the last time we cleaned our chakras out?
Yeah. Well, how can we clean our chakras to clear away the blocks so that we're flowing again?
Well, there's a gazillion different methods, and every time I do one, I change it.
Uh-huh.
So I can give you, you know, a typical one.
Okay.
You can go in, since you love the Saint Germain Violet Flame, and he has asked me to bring forth bring the other colors out in terms of letting people know that there's flames there, too.
Uh-huh.
Back when he did this, people couldn't have handled all that information. It just would have been too much to deal
uh-huh.
with. It was all I could deal with the Violet Flame. So now... I've put out, you know, the information on the red and the orange and the yellow flames and all that. So what I like to do is use those flames and the violet flame, too, to go into each chakra and basically go through, like, with a blowtorch, in a sense. I mean, it sounds sort of drastic, but I come in, I have you, like, either shrink up to, like an inch or 2 inches tall
mm-hmm.
and dive into the chakra, just go through like you're going into a cave. And then have in your hand one of the colors, one of the color flames. And you could have the color of that chakra's flame. So if you go into the red, you would use the red. But you can also use other colors for different effects
uh-huh.
or different things that you want to do with that red chakra. You can play with it a lot. But the other, I would say if you're just starting out, use the color of that chakra or use the violet flame, because that's probably a better way to start out until you get real proficient with it. Then you can try using threefold flames, you know, three flames together and that kind of thing. But I just have them go in, like if I'm leading you through something, or I would do this myself, you just go in and you look around, and you can almost intuitively, you know, if you don't see things and you're not clairvoyant, you will sense things.
Uh-huh.
People pick a way, they pick it up, you know, and you'll sense that there's like debris hanging around, there's leaks that go out to other people, perhaps, or other situations where you're giving your power away from that chakra.
Uh-huh.
Dinginess and discoloration, depletion, you know, all kinds of things like that. And
uh-huh.
so what we do is we go in, we just kind of clean all that up, and we try to, you know, bring in fresh color to fill it up. And so it's nice, and I call it, I like the term juicy and like a piece of fruit, you know,
uh-huh.
ripe and juicy and colorful, because uh-huh. that's what the chakra should look like, not all, you know, just kind of dull and, you know,
just hanging
you know,
out,
pathetic
huh?
looking, you know.
Well, let me ask you a question. There's so many people, I get so many calls for readings these days, and everybody's worried about money and survival.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, security. And to me, that's the first chakra issue.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the first chakra resonates about a ruby red. At least I'd like for it to be ruby red.
Yeah, one of the flames is called ruby red.
Okay. Now, so if someone is in survival mode, they're afraid about their safety, their security, you know, trust, money, whatever, what can they do energetically to that chakra so that they can adjust it so that they can, again, create and bring more into their path?
Well, you can fix the chakra up, and I'd absolutely recommend that you do, but there's going to have to be a change in thinking, too. I mean, that's the bottom line
uh-huh.
with it, because even if you clean up the chakra, the fear aspect will grip you again, and then everything starts to shift. So there's two parts to this, to do the initial cleanup. You can take the ruby red flame or the infrared. And the infrared works at a little deeper level in terms of earth deeper.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's not like it's more powerful. It's just more earth-oriented. And since money is such an earth issue, either ruby or infrared would work, whatever you feel guided to use.
Okay.
And then what you do is, you know, work with keeping it clean, keeping it filled up from source. I ask source to laser in the appropriate colors. See, everybody's chakras are different from everybody else's, and your red chakra can range from a tomato red to a fire engine red to a, you know, almost a pink red to all different shades,
uh-huh.
you know, or an orange red. And so what you have to do is look to see, and look meaning perceive, what shade you think you have. If you're not sure, look at a box of crayons and just pull out something, because your intuition will tell you, you know, my chakra is more of this color of this crayon, or if I mix these two or three crayons together, that's my color. And what you want to do is refill with your color, unless you're trying, you want to shift the energies of that chakra and you want a different red that evokes different feelings.
Uh-huh.
Say, you know, you tend to have let's say, orange red, and you really want to get some more vibrant regular reds in there, just to see if it sort of shifts the energy.
Uh-huh.
Then you can ask source to laser those in. But usually when we're filling up our chakras, we fill up with the colors that we already have selected for our colors.
Uh-huh.
And then that would laser in, and then you would balance the chakra. I do that by turning it a certain amount of rotations to the left and then to the right, and that balances you and your female and your male energy, because having a balance at the chakra system is extremely important.
And does the amount of rotations that you use depend on the person, or is it a set amount?
Depends on what your intent is. If you do 3, you're balancing to the earth. If you do 13, you're balancing to the, all aspects of the body.
Uh-huh.
You're balancing to the earth at 3, but you're also balancing to the physical body. When you balance with 13 rotations, you're connecting with source, which is 13th dimensional, and you're balancing the physical, the mental, emotional, and spiritual body. So with 13, you get a little more intense experience, because you're balancing it at that higher rotation.
Okay.
If you were to balance it like at 22, you would be connecting to the 22nd dimension. There's a lot of dimensions out there. So whatever you turn it to, you're connecting to that dimension. Of course, third plane is Earth, and
uh-huh.
so that's why the 3 for Earth.
Okay. Well, why don't we real quick, and maybe go up to maybe about 20 or 22, since you mentioned the 22. Can you share with us the different dimensions, or some of the well, there's no minor dimension, but maybe one that's more prominent than another?
Yeah, well, there's 13 original dimensions, and those are the ones that probably people should be the most concerned with at this time, at least initially.
Uh-huh.
Then you can start playing with some of the others, but the first is the elemental kingdom, and that's all the different elements. And then the second dimension is the devic energies, you know, the sprites, the elves, the fairies, you know, the gnomes, all of those guys. And then the third is what we would consider here on the planet Earth at this time, and there are other third-dimensional planets in the cosmos as well. When you get up to fourth, you're talking about a little bit higher-level physical. usually with the fourth plane planets that are out there, they have managed to ascend from a third plane type of energy, which, you know, which what that's like. It's a bit dualistic, and fear is still a big problem, and you know, things like violence and other things tend to still be a problem, you know.
Uh-huh.
Shadow energies tend to be a problem. Fourth, they start working it out, and if there are negative energies, they have agreed to separate themselves to different sections of the cosmos.
Uh-huh.
So basically, the good guys all hang out, and the other guys that are into control all hang out, but they don't mingle.
Okay.
Mainly because of telepathy is pretty much a major thing there, and if you try to pull something on something, they'd all know anyway. So
uh-huh.
They've agreed to disagree and stay apart. So fourth plane's like that. Fifth plane, from what I've seen with the fifth plane, and we're supposed to ascend to that level here eventually.
Uh-huh.
With this transition on the fifth plane, I haven't really seen the so-called traces of evil that people, or, you know, the negative energies that people see at the other levels. People are really, I mean, it's a very high-level physical existence and a lot of love and harmonious living there. At the sixth, you start making a transition to non-physical level. And it's like the beans in cocoon, you know, kind of like beans that kind of, almost, I don't know, kind of wander. You've seen the movie Cocoon, right?
Uh-huh.
Yes, so you know what they kind of look like. It's sort of half physical, half non-physical. It's a transition point to a non-physical dimension, which is seventh and up. So, I mean, I don't know how far you want me to go with that, but that's all the way up to 13th being the source. You get more rarefied as you go.
Okay. Now, when we cross over, when we make our crossing from this life to the next, do you feel that we go to these different dimensions?
There's that possibility. I, from what I understand in my knowledge, and I also have helped people over, you can go straight to a non-physical state. Well, actually, it's usually you go first to a non-physical and then decide whether you're going to incarnate onto another physical realm or another planetary system or come back here.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, yeah, I mean, in spirit form is basically a non-physical to us. Now, that's how fourth and fifth plane and sixth plane look to us, too. They look like they're non-physical because to us, they're vibrating at a higher level, so they appear to be non-physical bodies. Do you know what I mean? If you were
uh-huh.
to see one. But to them, they're very physical. And I do know situations where people will incarnate, if they've come from, say, the fourth plane, and they've just done a little incarnation here and just want to go right back to continue what they were living there, they will go back and go straight back to their life there.
Okay.
With some review. You know, usually do a review of what your life, you know, there's some time
yeah.
where you have to
go
over
to
your life and stuff.
No matter what.
In the spirit world for a while, you
mm-hmm.
know, and then if they have to come back here due to the reincarnational wheel, or they've signed contracts that they have to come back for service work, we know what that one's like.
Yeah, well, you know, be
another
careful what you
here.
Ask for over there, because you will definitely get it here.
Yes, yes. So there's, you know, so if you've signed up for a series of lives, you'll be deciding, you know, okay, when do I dive back in, you know,
uh-huh.
for the next one. And, you know, there's varying degrees of years that people stay in the non-physical. I mean, I've heard of some that 500,000 years. Gosh, I've done so much earth. I mean, I'm on the service thing that
uh-huh.
it's like in and out, you know, for me personally. So I suppose I'm a bit envious of those that can stay non-physical for a while.
Yeah, well, stop choosing those lessons.
Well, it's the contract side, you know, to help out. So, but yeah, you know, it's that's how I understand it. What is your view?
My view is pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're on the same page with that. We are speaking with Alejandra, and you can call us and talk to us. Our number is 888-268-4313 or 530-876-3222. We do have an email, and the email is from Tina. And Tina would like to know if you believe in the theory of going out into the void, and if so, if that's a positive experience or negative. And I'm kind of paraphrasing here. And she wants to know, if it is positive, how can you utilize it to your benefit?
Well, I love the question, because the void, it's so interesting that she has emailed in, because the void has been basically on my front burner for a few months here. It's not that I haven't visited in the past, but a friend of mine recently put a book out on the void. In fact, I'd like to mention, if she is interested in books on the void, an excellent one of the artwork within the void is Mark Levy's book. It's called The Void in Art, and I just did a review for him. And he had traveled all over, Tibet and India and different places to go to the temples where they understand over there the void really well in a lot of the Eastern countries. And he went to various places where the art, you know, has that theme. And so it's a wonderful compilation. And no one's really done a book like that. I am so, I love the idea. See, I feel the void came before the source. Some people call the void the source, but the source is kind of an active energy that creates. But prior to that, I feel that all was in the void. All was undifferentiated energy. There was no individuality. It was all one. And then the void, there was movement within the void, which birthed then the source initially, and then from there creation and dimensions.
Our purposes now when we're meditating, is it to our advantage to go to the void?
If you can handle it, I think it's a wonderful way to, because some people get scared because of the, I've literally had an experience in class with two different reactions to going to the void. A number of years ago, I had two gals. One had experienced a void-like experience earlier in her life, which really frightened her. So I have to tell you, one has a background of that, okay? And the other one has no issue at all about going to the void, has no death issues, anything like that. Well, within the session at the class, someone went consciously to the void in a conscious way. Obviously, the body was still there. And the two ladies had varying reactions. One was, wow, cool. And the other was, I want to back off of this. This is too scary. It's the lack of individuality. I feel like I'm losing me. And that's a valid, concern. So I recently have been working a lot with Lao Tzu. I should have mentioned him as a guide. And he, he's all about the void.
Hey, Monique.
Hi.
This is Princess. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you, Princess?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I just was listening to your show, and hello, Alejandra.
Hello.
I'm a writer and an editor, and I've been working on a book that, I better not give the name of it just now, but I've been working on this book that is in the public domain. It's an ancient wisdom writing, and what you're saying, Alejandra, is completely verified in this book about people when they cross over and the things that they encounter even the dark spirits and stuff. The dark spirits do have their own abode. This is remarkable.
Princess, is this a book that you have in common with Marshall Master?
Yes.
You can mention it.
Oh, okay. Well, this is the Colburn Bible. We're about ready to release another edition of it within about a month or so, and I'm working on a history file that's going to go into the front matter.
Okay. Well, great.
Wow. That sounds good.
Okay. Well, Princess, do you have a question for either Alejandra or myself or both?
Well, yeah. You were talking about the colors that I'm resonating. What color am I resonating now?
Okay, well, I want everybody to keep in mind that your colors can constantly change, and you can change them if you wish.
However,
but right now, Princess, I am seeing you, you're two-toned right now. I'm seeing a beautiful opalescent white, which is purity coming from spirit. So that's telling me that spirit is around you and appreciating the work that you're doing. The second color that I am seeing around you is a very deep but very clear emerald green. So that addresses money and emotions, your emotions around the money, and that is telling me that your struggle is about to end.
Oh, my God.
Okay, the combination of the two is your struggle is about
to
end. Allie, do you have any ideas for her as far as colors that she could put around her to help her with her book?
Well, what came up right away was, and I love what you said about the two colors, and I would concur with them, so I just wanted to say that. But what came up right away was the Blu-ray. And isn't that interesting, because it's all about communication and teaching what you know and teaching your truth.
Interesting.
So what I would do is, you know, probably it's meaning, it just came up, so I think it's probably wanting to be even more of a part of you than it's been. What I would do is work with your throat chakra, opening it up even more, you know, bring in the blue energy and whatever shades you feel attracted to.
I see. Well, two things on that. Several people have told me that I'm an indigo elder.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, I have always loved to sing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would say that the blue then should be more in the dark blue of the indigo arena as well, or you should add that as well, because that would be the third eye. So then what you want to do is bring not only the throat chakra blue, but the deeper indigo blue energy into it as well.
Okay, cool. Well, that brings up one more question. I also like to do backgrounds for, you know, for your windows and things like that, and I've used this little inexpensive program that I've had for years, but it creates the most gorgeous backgrounds, and I do it based on my you were saying the colors that I feel that I'm projecting. You know, I do that based on that. So if I were to go and do an indigo background, it would be a multi-shaded blue background. Or if I was to do it'd be kind of hard to do the crystalline kind of a thing background, but just to do backgrounds like that, would that not intensify the colors that I want to take into myself?
Well, I would, and I'm sure Monique has her ideas too. I would say absolutely. You know, what you bring in, what you put around you, surround yourself with, you just open that up. Your senses to that more and more. So I think that's a great idea about the background. In fact, do you have a website where do you sell these, or you?
I'm thinking about it in all my spare time, and Monique knows what I'm talking about there too.
Oh, I'd like to find out more about that, because I'm thinking, oh, cool, I'd like to see some of these backgrounds. But I will say with the opalescent white, the opalescent color to me has a lot of the fine etheric colors in it that are high level.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, too, that there's a bit of protection energy in that white.
Mm-hmm.
White tends to have that. So it's your spirit is giving you protection to make your moves into some new arenas, it sounds like. I mean, I've not met you before, but it sounds like you're making some big transitions. And also clarity to see. Also clarity to see ahead, too.
Yeah. And my take on the blue that you mentioned is, you know, use your background colors by all means. And the indigo that Ali was talking about, just imagine that being around you. Because if you imagine it, it's there. This isn't rocket science. A lot of people think it's so hard, but it really isn't.
No, it has to come. If you imagine it, it has to be there. You've commanded it to be there.
Exactly, and we have the power to do that.
Okay, yes, I certainly do believe in creative visualization, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll do that, and then, you know, check back with us and let us know how your life has progressed, okay?
I sure will, and it's nice talking with both of you.
Yes,
okay,
well,
Princess,
email me if you would. I would love to connect with your thing there. And
with the
email address.
Okay, with some of the backgrounds and things like that.
I'd love
to see them. I'll keep listening and get back with you on email later then.
Okay, thanks, Princess.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, Allie, why don't you put out your contact information right now?
Okay. Well, I can be reached by phone at 408-986-8550 in the San Jose, California area, and that's again 408-986-8550. On the web, I have a site. It's colorhealing.com. So that's www.colorhealingoneword.com. Color is spelled the American way, COLOR. healing.com, and then you can reach me at Alejandra at colorhealing.com, and Alejandra is spelled Alijandra.
Okay, great. And if you've missed any of that or can't find it later, just send me an email and I will forward it on to her. Allie, now, and the lines are open, so we can call in at 888 888- 268-4313 or 530-876-3222. In some of your work, you talk about building the 13 rays to source. What is that?
Well, the 13 rays emanate from source. Actually, everything's from source, but the rays themselves tend to be 12th dimensional, one down from source. The flames, color flames, are source.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just, you know, slicing and dicing the dimensions there a little bit. But they all originate from that high level, and we're blessed to have at all the different levels, you know, an aspect of that energy in terms of the rays and the flames. And so when you work with these colors, these fine rainbow rays, you evoke the source energy. You evoke high-level dimensional energy for yourself. And so, you know, it's so balancing and cleansing. And
okay, so can you give us an example on, say we're low energy, what can we invoke to help shift our energy?
You mean like at a physical low energy?
Uh-huh.
Physical is great because it's red. You know,
okay.
Basically, you know, just go in there and put some red clothes on and maybe bring some red energy in. And, you know, as you said before, which was interesting about the financial stuff coming from the red base chakra, you know, people tend to also get the low back, where that's opposite that chakra is the low back.
Interesting.
And you'll often see troubles that way when they're having troubles financially with seeing, as a body worker, I see the low back problems, which is a giveaway right there. You know, it helps to hopefully pump up that kundalini there and get things moving. And people will say, you know, when I do a lecture and there's some people that are in red, I'll look at them and say, were you kind of dragging this morning? It's like, yeah. And I said, well, how do you feel now? And it's much better.
Uh-huh.
And so really, even just red clothing is amazing how it can kind of give you that extra little oomph that you need. But definitely bringing the red in to some degree. Obviously, now I would say there's a cautionary thing with the red, only in terms of if you're running infection or inflammation areas, you might want to just kind of let it bypass those, because it can be a little, you know, aggravating.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, be careful with the red. I mean, don't go overboard with it.
And, okay.
But,
yeah, now, these colors, you can do other besides wear them, right? I mean, what about getting felt patches, painting your wall,
absolutely,
or just having...
Yeah, it's a big deal right now. As you know, I think I've talked to you about I'm doing accent walls right now, because I couldn't stand. I just moved to a new apartment. I couldn't stand all the kind of vanilla color all over the walls. And so I was literally going nuts. And so I put a bright accent wall in each room. I'm almost done. And that just made all the difference for me. I had to have the color there.
Okay.
And so I selected what I resonated with the color. It's the same thing with for everybody else. You know, it's your environment, it's your colors.
Okay. Now, this is a question specifically for women, but, you know, sometimes we are feeling out of sorts for whatever reason. And like you said, red can energize you, orange can kind of heal you, green can enliven you, yellow brings you out. What if you wore underwear in a particular color to augment your feelings for a particular day?
Yeah, anything that you wear, especially, you know, it's that it's on the skin directly, you know, and then it's in the auric field. Anything that's on your body affects the auric field, you know, your electromagnetic field. So, yeah, I never not think about color when I'm selecting something. You know, if I'm out at the store needing to buy something, it's always first thing. It's not even the way it looks. It's like, what color is it? I mean, that's how much a part of my life it is. It's I'm always looking, and then if I don't think about it consciously, it's unconscious. And shades and hues are important of those colors.
Uh-huh.
There's some things I don't resonate with as much as I do others.
Right, and it doesn't make a color good, bad, right, or wrong.
No, it just doesn't look.
Your energy
doesn't either look right on me, or it's not the energy that I need.
Okay. Now, what about the color black? Everybody says, you know, black is negative. I mean, and, you know, cowboys and Indians and whatever, you know, the guy with the white hat's the good guy, the guy with the bat, you know, the black hat's the bad guy. You know, the black is always seen as bad. What about in energy work?
Well, I'm, I used to be about the only one out there squawking about how great black was, and everybody was saying, no, it's terrible, it's black magic, it's this, it's that. Even well-respected body workers are healers. But over the years, now this is 15 years or more of this, of saying, hey, there's nothing wrong with this color, and people are starting to shift, and I'm actually seeing that now, there's nothing to be afraid of with it. I think people were scared of the black because they had this whole thing of it had to be involved with black magic. And Saint Germain was the one to tell me that it has nothing to do with black magic, because he says that black magicians, those that use the black energies, meaning dark energies, okay, they actually manipulate the elements. They don't even use the color at all. They're manipulating air, earth, fire, water, you know, ether. And that's how they get what they want. And so I'm not saying that you'll never see someone take a color and make it yucky for someone, you know. But I don't know how it got that that terminology, because black has always been a respected color throughout history in terms of accomplishment. You know, if you're a novice and you get your black robes as a nun, you've arrived. You know, if you get your graduation degree wearing black graduation robes, you've arrived. It's a respected color. And I think, I believe it went back to the start of the patriarchal time period of Earth, where the Earth-based religions and the matriarchal, and or at least the feminine energies, were beginning to be dampened down. And so, you know, the patriarchal energy just stomped it out. And I think black went the way of that energy.
Well, it's amazing, all that control from way back then,
Yeah, and I think it went underground into the mystery school for years. The people knew, hey, it was okay color, but we're not talking about it. Do you know that my guides at that time used to call it the unknown ray?
Really?
Yeah. It was like the unnamed ray. It was like nobody wanted to say it was black, and I kept saying, when are they just going to say it's the black ray? Finally, one of them, you know, this is that I had back years ago, before Saint Germain came in.
Okay, we have a caller, so let's take our caller. Hello?
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 Yes, Monique?
Hello? I can barely hear you.
Hello, Monique?
Hello? Yes?
This is Michael in Oakland.
Hi. I can barely hear you, so can you speak up a little bit?
Yeah, this is Michael in Oakland.
Hi, Michael.
Hi. Yeah, I was wondering if you all could talk more on health and using...
Talk more on...
Health?
Health?
Yeah.
Okay.
Using the colors and rays to achieve higher and better health, and how... What should somebody, like, focus on or think about, or improving, you know, health conditions, like if you're trying to get rid of, health problems, like...
Well, that would be a good one. Ali, let's take cancer, for example, okay? Mm-hmm. Would that be okay with you, Michael?
Huh?
Would the disease cancer be okay?
Huh?
Okay. Yeah, Ali, let's take cancer. What colors could we focus on to minimize and heal those cells?
Well, there's two modes of thought about cancer. One is that you don't feed them. Like if you were to give energy a certain way, that the cancer would actually grow from that because it cells just like any other cells. And, you know, there's ways of treating it, which I'm really careful with one that I'm using right now, because we don't want to feed the cancer, but we also want to make it so it's not, you know, we harness it so it's not growing, and that kind of thing. It would really depend on, I would use all 13 rays, and we've been using a lot of other alchemical rays as well, which we haven't talked about.
Well, what color could Michael use for, if that was an issue for him?
Well, it would depend on where the cancer, what type of cancer the person has.
Oh, okay, well, let's pick a couple of general ones. And Michael, you still with us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here,
for a woman, one of the most common is breast or cervical cancer, and for a guy, it's generally colon and prostate cancer.
Each person's different, so what I would do is just approach it on that sort of way. And I hate to, you know, I feel like I'm sort of maybe not answering the question here, but it's never a one size fits all that way.
Okay.
So what I would do is I would work with their specific energy system and look to see where the energy was diminished, like what areas are they totally leaving out of their auric field, for example. I mean, or they're blocking, because a lot of times it's lack of color,
okay,
you know, certain colors that they need, and the whole thing is not to feed it, but to you know, to eradicate it. But that's, you know, it's a really big deal. Cancer's probably a hard one to just talk a few minutes on because it's pretty large. There's probably some other health ones we could do that are probably a little easier.
Okay. Well, we've got another caller. Hello.
Okay. Thank you.
Hello? Well, maybe not. Okay. Michael, are you still with us?
Huh? Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, my take on what Allie said is I agree with it. However, in addition, I would say for like a disease like cancer, if you would utilize the colors pink, which generally is love, okay, and green, which is generally healing, and gold, which is generally neutrality, okay, because you want to neutralize, you want to heal, and you want to send love to the areas that aren't being loved right now.
I would totally agree with you, Monique, because that's actually those three are the ones we use quite a bit with this one person I'm working with stage four cancer. And it's variations on the rose ray, green ray, and a lot of gold, too, besides the other things that we're working with, some of the other alchemical colors. But those three you could say definitely for everyone.
Okay. Is there a different malady that you'd like to have us look at, Michael?
Additional what? Hello?
Is Michael still there?
Yeah, I hear him saying hello. Can you hear us, Michael?
Barely.
Okay, I can't hear him at all. Is there anything else that you would like us to look at?
Oh, no, that's fine.
Okay, well, let me tell you your colors right now, okay?
Okay.
Michael, what I'm seeing around you is a beautiful, beautiful sapphire blue. Okay, you're one-dimensional at the moment, but sapphire blue. And for me, that sapphire blue is indicating someone who's very introspective, but at the same time, someone who is open to helping and assisting not only other people but mankind. So you're truly a healer. Okay, so I'd love for you to get out there and heal some more, because I know that you are.
Okay. All right. Well,
thank you for your call. I really can't hear you, so I'm not trying to cut you off, but
yeah.
I just can't hear, so I apologize.
Okay,
Allie, we've got about a couple minutes left. What is it that you would like to share with our audience?
Well, I would like people to feel free to, you know, give me a call or email me, but I am going to be teaching some classes coming up, so that would be nice to hear from you regarding that. I'm going to do a 3-day color basic in San Jose at the end of April, last weekend there. I'm going to do the Matrix, which is the new material from Cosmic Chakras up in Ashland, Oregon in June and in Sacramento in May. And then I'll be doing a channeling class up in Seattle in sometime in June. It has to be set still. We haven't set the date yet. So those are some of the upcoming things that I'll be doing. So
okay, why don't you put out your contact number, email, website again?
Yes, it's www.colorhealing.com, and that's one word, and color is C-O-L-O-R, and healing.com. And then Alejandra at colorhealing.com, A-L-I-J-A-N-D-R-A. And my phone is 408-986-8550 in California.
Okay, and you're working California hours?
Up till, let's say, Pacific time, say 8 in the evening. I'll say from like 9:30 in the morning to 8 are good times to reach me.
Okay, and of course, if she's not available when you call, please leave a message. She's very good at getting back to you.
Yeah, I'm up in the city 3 days a week, so that's the days where it might be another day before I get back to you.
Okay, and her book, Healing with the Rainbow Rays, hurry up, get your copy, because it's getting ready to go to reprint, and look forward to her new book out soon. Well, Alejandra, thank you so much for being my guest today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I do too. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, and I'll be back next week with author Brenda Anderson. If you'd like more information about any of my guests or to find out about my personal appearances, log on to either one of my websites, www.walkingwithspirit.net or www.healing-visions.com, or give me a call at 888-240-6057. And remember, the master knows that he or she is always a student, whereas the student still hopes to someday be a master. Many blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a Service.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.